What about the podcast? What about the podcast? Ad and Dad.
What
about the podcast?
The podcast.
What about the
podcast?
What about the pod?
What
you are listening to it.
What about what? What about the podcast?
What about the podcast? What about the podcast? What about the podcast?
You are listening to What About the Podcast by Ad and Dad.
Wow. Okay, that was cacophonic introduction.
If that means good. Yeah.
That means good.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means good. Let me get rid of some of that hum. All right.
There we go.
There we go. That's a little better.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 7. I hope you're awake now.
You hope I'm awake?
I hope everyone's awake after hearing that. I hope you're awake, too.
I am awake.
You're awake?
I'm pretty awake.
You're awake? You had a week off? We had a week off from the podcast?
Yeah.
So ready to go again. Feel well rested.
I'm revved up, and I'm excited.
Why are you so excited?
Because we haven't done this for a week.
Yeah. So
it's a big episode.
Big episode on the show today. We have some famous people. No, we don't. We don't have anyone famous on the show today.
Why'd you call yourself out?
I don't know, because I was trying to think of a famous person we could say we had on the show and then realized we would be in trouble as soon as we said someone because we probably can't produce that person.
Yeah. We haven't really gone over who we can, like, do an accent of and...
produce.
Yeah.
And it's
you'd really embody, so it would have been tough to pull off.
Do you know any accents? Do you know any impersonations? Do you do any impersonations?
I don't really do any impersonations. But I mean, I can try.
Yeah.
I can try to do impersonations, but there's none that I'm actively like practicing that I'm like, yeah, I can do that guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's go to that segment of the show that's Adam tries to do impersonations.
Okay, I think it'll be good if they're bad, and it might be slightly better if they're actually good.
I think that's a good observation.
So I'm good no matter what. I'm feeling confident.
All right.
Because even if they're bad, they're going to be great.
So where do you want to start?
You're supposed to quiz me.
Oh, I'm supposed to quiz you?
Yeah.
What do I just throw out names?
Just throw out names and hopefully I'll know who they are. It might be embarrassing if like some of the like slightly older people know who someone is and I don't. But
yeah,
we'll get over the hump. So. All
right. Well, here's the first one that popped in my mind. Sir Elton John.
I don't know. I mean, it's British, right?
Yeah.
Hello. I'm
maybe higher, maybe slightly higher voice. I don't know.
Give me one second.
Okay.
It's Sir Elton John here. Just coming off the back of a music tour. I've been singing into the microphone.
What have you been singing, Sir Elton John?
Hold me closer, tiny dance.
That's not bad. That for being put on the spot, that's pretty good.
It's just an English accent, but
yeah.
Well. All right, next one.
Lionel Messi.
That's unfair.
That's unfair. Why?
I don't speak it. It would just be English with an Argentinian accent.
Yeah.
Or like a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
Like, he has a pretty high voice, too.
He does.
Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like
I wouldn't know if you got it right anyway. I don't know that.
Well, then I guess we're good.
We're good. All right.
No, what you want me to say?
Is there any that you really feel compelled to? How about any Australian? You got any Australian accent?
I can do an Australian accent if that's what.
Yeah, let's hear.
Like I can.
Yeah.
I'm from Australia. You do put the shrimp on the barbie and.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go catch a kangaroo later.
Yeah. you got all the stereotypical tropes in there in one short thing. Yep. All right. Well, maybe we should get on with the show.
Okay.
Sorry to.
I feel like you left me out to dry a little bit. No, what did you want me to say?
I did.
I mean, I don't know. I was expecting like American actors.
Oh, okay.
That like everybody knows and
Nick
that,
Cage.
Like,
give me Nick Cage. I know you're a big fan. Can you do a Nick Cage? What would your Nick Cage impression be?
Something like the volume is totally uneven. Like the one scene in National Treasure 2 where he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kidnap the President of the United States. And then later on he's talking to his dad. He's like, well, maybe it's because you have a tendency to overreact. Maybe it's because you have a tendency to overreact. Mr. President, I'm not going to let you leave until you tell me where the president's secret book is.
Yeah.
That's not what he says, actually. He says pretty much the opposite. But.
Oh, okay. That was good. That made up for the whole thing right there, the Nick Cage impression. That was pretty good. We're still waiting for Nick Cage. So, Nick Cage, if you're out there in podcast land...
Well, maybe it's because you have a tendency to overreact.
Please call. We're looking for a call in. Actually, we don't have a number for you to call in, but just
call it.
Just leave a message on Anchor or something. I can even do that.
Well, maybe can you? I don't know.
I don't know.
Leave us a message.
Yeah.
Put somewhere.
Yeah. Put a comment on our blog, and maybe it'll be one of the few that's not spam or something.
Yeah, we get a lot of spam.
Do we?
That's what you were implying just then.
I think the thing is like, we just do this for ourselves, so we put it out there, and I really have no idea if anyone is paying attention to it. And
we put on a really good facade.
We do.
That somebody is.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay. Coming up on the show, we're going to get back to our roots. We're going to review some things today.
Yeah.
And what are those things that we're going to review?
We're going to review HQ.
HQ.
Like the online game show. For app. Those that don't know, app.
Sweeping the nation. The hottest trend in trivia and app.
A couple of years ago, it was Trivia Crack. Yeah. With the wheel and the...
Yeah.
No, it's HQ now.
It's HQ. Okay.
Next, what else did we say?
We said that we were going to review the April 2nd, 2018 issue of The New Yorker because it contains a couple articles that I think are within our wheelhouse. This is an issue dedicated to the mind. It's known as the mind issue. And there's a couple articles that I thought we'd at least want to... I'll give you my take on them. I know you haven't read them, but... I think they're within your interest, so.
All right.
I really am not really prepared to talk about them, but whatever.
Okay.
All right. I'll make it up. I'll BS like all the rest of this show.
All right, sounds good.
There was one other thing. one other thing that I, we said we were going to talk about. What was that? We didn't really settle on it.
Your prep sports?
Your prep sports or, yeah, or something else. Something else Iowa City related. Soccer. It's soccer season.
Soccer season.
Soccer season. So that's important to us here on this show. Maybe not important to anyone else.
Maybe.
I feel like it's all downhill from here after that just riveting first couple minutes of the impression and
well,
all that.
Maybe we could keep it's because you have a keep everyone on their toes.
Yeah.
And maybe every couple minutes we'll just...
Maybe we should do all the reviews
just do
and how Nick Cage would do the reviews.
Or maybe give each other different ones that we have to...
Maybe yeah. It's because you have a
tendency to overreact. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, actually.
Not a good idea for me.
Not a good idea?
Well, it's a good idea for you, not for me.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of ones that you might...
impressions that I might be able to do.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of Bob Dylan. I'm not sure if I can pull it off this morning, but
like a singing Bob Dylan, yeah, or like talking Bob Dylan?
Kind of in between.
Okay.
Kind of a talking singing. Well, I mean, he kind of talks when he sings.
Anyway, yeah, that's true.
And then the other one I can do is just very select Roberto Benigni from Down by Law.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I basically just have to go from the ice creamer, you screamer, we all a screamer for ice creamer. Zach, 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 Jack, ice creamer, you screamer, we all screamer for ice creamer. Anyway.
And the other one would be the buzz off.
Buzz off. Buzz off, Jack.
Buzz off, will you? Buzz off to you too.
A buzz off to you too. Yes, that's such a good film.
That's iconic.
Yeah, well, there's our review of that one, Down by Law, if you haven't seen it.
Great movie.
Great movie, Jim Jarmusch. But getting back to what's at hand, HQ.
HQ, yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's awesome.
Why?
I guess I couldn't give you 100% answer.
Do you, I know I've heard from others that there's this idea that it's a little Brave New World-ish, or it's kind of weird to have someone come live on your phone and participate in this way. Do you have any feelings on that?
Yeah, it's pretty strange. And so the hosts, they're doing it live as well.
Yeah.
They're not just starting a playback.
They have to do it. They have to do it live, right? I mean, because people are answering these, and they're responding to how many people got each question, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a tough job, but yeah, it's a little strange.
So I assume there's two hosts. I've only seen two hosts. Are there more than two hosts?
I thought there was was there a different host today than there was last night?
There's a man and a woman host.
Oh,
is what I've seen. Scott Rogowski or something like that, and I've only seen the women host once, and I don't know what her.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
Well, I've never seen Scott.
You've never seen
this
Scott.
This Rogowski character.
Okay. Yeah, he's good. I think they're both good. I like both the hosts, and I think it's a weird thing. It'd be weird to talk to a million people for like 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Two times a day.
Pretty nerve-wracking. Pretty unsettling.
They seem to be comfortable in that role, though.
Yeah, they do.
And so tell me about HQ. What are you did some research on the numbers involved in HQ.
Yeah, you? I don't really remember them, but I can make some up.
All right. Make some up.
So
what are your chances of winning?
So basically, the questions get progressively harder.
Yes.
One through... when I made my calculations, I think one through three were guaranteed givens, because
yeah,
they're all so easy.
Yeah.
Like, literally anyone should be able to get them right.
Yeah, unless you may not speak English or something
right,
like that.
Right. I guess this is assuming they understand the question.
Yeah.
So I put one through three as given.
There's also room for error, because you could, you know, it's if you accidentally touch the wrong space.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actual mechanical bodily failure.
Yeah, but still, I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big area of your touch screen, so you should be able to hit it right.
Yeah. And then for four through six, I think I gave them a 50% chance that you make it through all three.
Of the four, five, and six.
Four,
okay.
Five, and six. And
yeah,
then I think from question six on,
yes,
I just did one third for each question I took off.
Yeah.
Because that's how many options there are. And so I think, I don't know, in the end, it was probably something like one in five.
I thought you said 600.
600, yeah.
Yeah,
something like that. My calculations might have been different, but I feel like 1 in 600, if you guessed randomly on like the last five or six, you should
you'd win one out of every 600 times.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. I mean, there's only three answers possible. If there were four, it'd be a much different calculation.
Right. If there were two,
yeah,
it'd also be a different calculation.
Yeah.
Really anything besides what it is, the calculation would be different.
Yeah. It's a funny, it's an interesting game because you play for free and you have a chance of winning real money. And of course, everyone who wins splits that money. So like last night, the
winners made less than a dollar.
They made less than a
because
dollar.
Because the questions each. Were too easy.
The questions were too easy. But two nights prior, they had a big game where they had a $250,000 jackpot and they only had, how many winners did they have? They had 15 questions, 15. So that would have changed the math too. But
they had a lot less winners.
Yeah, all I remember is each winner got $20,000. So that's an interesting game when you go from potentially winning 50 cents to potentially winning 20 grand.
20 grand, yeah.
I'm a fan. I think I'm a fan of it. I like that it's only 15 minutes long. I like that I don't feel like I have to play it every single day. You know, I can look forward. Like tomorrow night,
maybe
there's a bigger game.
You have
again,
a tendency to overreact.
175,000 or something like that.
Wow.
Or maybe it's just 75,000. I can't remember.
Overreact.
It's a bigger one.
Overreact.
Anything else you want to say about HQ?
Overreact.
People who like trivia will probably like this game.
Yeah, I like it. It tests my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Pretty low stress.
Cool.
Unless you get, like, the last one wrong. Like, if you get to question 10, it becomes pretty high stress, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing with that is if you played in a group and you could all, you know, communicate quick enough together, because you only have 10 seconds to answer.
Right.
So there's very little. There's, like, 5 seconds of discussing and then hitting the right answer, right?
Yeah.
Which is not a lot.
Yeah.
It's basically shouting what you think is right and hoping other people agree with you.
Yeah.
But if you were to systematically get a group together and have in a room have 10 people playing it and you all got to that question 12 or something like that, you could all just say, all right, I'm going to take the first one, I'm going to take the second one, I'm going to take the third one. And at that point, you'd have a pretty good chance of sharing some winnings.
Right, but you would split it down even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it was like 60 cents, each person would make like 20 cents.
Not worth it. It'd be more fun just to go out on your own and try and win it all. All the glory.
Yeah, all the 60 cents glory.
All the 60
You'd
cents
get like
glory.
A gumball and a half with that money.
Yep. This new issue of The New Yorker. Moving on. The mind issue. I just really wanted to bring it up because I think that you might be interested in reading it. And do you know why?
Why?
Because there's this article called As Real as It Gets by Joshua Rothman. And he's talking about people who are interested in virtual reality, working on virtual reality and out-of-body experiences. And the subtitle of the article is, Are We Already Living in a Virtual Reality? So this plays right into one of your big theories, the simulation theory.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out. I think you'd be interested in reading that article. And as I've continued to read this issue of The New Yorker, I've read a second article, and this one is about the extended mind. It's about this philosopher named Andy Clark, who is interested in thinking about the mind as something that not only exists within your head, but actively uses tools in the world around it as part of itself. And one way they explain this is thinking about pen and paper as part of your mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's kind of right. If you think about the way you think about things, like how often do you use a tool outside of your body to help your mind think about things?
A lot of the time?
A lot of the time, yeah. Whether it's a calculator, I mean, these go beyond tools, but I mean, we were doing it, even drawing pictures. If you think about cave paintings,
yeah,
that was a way for people to think together outside.
I mean, directions? Would that be an example?
Directions, yeah. I mean, directions is a good example because someone can tell you where these things are, and
they're basically thinking for you in a way.
Yeah, it goes into language and communication, and but it gets really interesting talking about how the mind navigates the world, and gets into talking about how your mind, through the process of prediction, moves your body, which is really weird.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
It means that your mind will produce what they're calling free energy, and this free energy will start to irritate your body because your mind will be saying, hey, your arm feels funny. Why does your arm feel funny? And you're like, oh, because I need to move it. And so in a way, your mind is predicting that your arm will move, and because it's predicting that, it's causing it to move in the end.
So he's saying that we're not in control of our bodies?
It gets into that. It gets into that a little bit. But our minds are, kind of beyond our control in some ways. And the other thing it talks a lot about is selectively what we see. And this goes back, and I was thinking about this watching your soccer game. So this will
and
actually
I've,
be
I've
a
heard
good
of this too, by
segue.
The way.
What have you heard?
About selective sight and how our brain blocks out things.
Yeah.
Like where our nose is in our vision all the time, but our brain blocks it out because it's always there and they're like, we don't need to see this.
Yeah. 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 I was, the example they give in the article is, you're reading this article and then you get to a paragraph and it says, and you'll notice how this, works because in the previous paragraph, we inserted three extra thes
in front of other thes
in front of other
and
thes.
You probably didn't notice
thes
because
in front of other thes
didn't need to see that redundant information
in front of other
and
thes. I didn't notice it and I went back and
there they were
thes.
Well, see, this
in front of other
this
thes
is where I have a complaint or a problem.
All right,
potentially is, well, what if they just put them there after you read the other paragraph?
Oh, so you're saying they weren't there when I first read them
and then they put them there
and
after
then after I went back they appeared because they predicted that they would appear.
Or just there was like a guy, a tiny guy who laid them out afterward.
Yeah, interesting.
But
this goes back,
of course, go on.
This kind of goes into our last segue. So reviewing it, my review for this New Yorker issue is it's a good one, and I think you'd be interested in it. I can't say anyone else listening would be interested in it, but this is a podcast for you and I, so that's my review.
Great. Awesome.
And I was thinking about this article because it plays into soccer and watching your soccer game yesterday. Congrats on the 3-1 win over Ankeny.
Thank you.
First win of the season, first game of the season. Good job.
Yeah, first real counting game. We had a scrimmage, a jamboree, which is like a half of a scrimmage, basically.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, first real win.
Yep. And it was a tough game, and there was a lot of teenage male aggression being demonstrated on the field.
Yeah, by a lot of people on a lot of sides.
Yep. And then the ref is in between there, and this ref, and this is why I was thinking about the mind and how we perceive things, and then how fans perceive things. And of course, if all our City fans are sitting in the stands and we want City to win, we look at the game and all our minds are saying, of course it's unfair when the other team does this. And our minds are, we think that we're being objective, but they're aligned with the wants of our team. And it's the same with the other fans, right?
They're yeah.
But at some point, you have to make objective calls. When are fouls fouls? Was a foul? Should it have been a yellow card?
Right, yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, there's the kid on Ankeny who gives you an elbow to the face in the first 10 minutes of the game. And then I cease to see him as a good player anymore. Once I see him injure my son out on the field, I'm like, dang that kid. I'm rooting against him.
You weren't rooting against him before he elbowed me in the face.
I wasn't. No, I was kind of neutral. And then I said, come on, that's a cheap shot. That was a little bit of a cheap shot. Maybe it wasn't a cheap shot.
I don't think it was a cheap shot. But
it was, well, okay, it was reckless.
I guess, I don't know.
Reckless wielding of the arm.
I think he was just trying to block off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just...
But his arm went pretty high if it's hitting you in the face.
Yeah.
You're not...
I'm not short.
You're not short.
I mean, I've accidentally put my forearm against, like, I've knocked people, like, in the upper...
Yeah.
Like, face area.
Do you feel good
about
that?
But, like, normally it's like they're...
No,
I mean, like when people are short, like on accident, but
yeah,
it didn't seem like that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
But you were bleeding.
I had a nosebleed for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's good you concealed that. Shouldn't they have taken you off?
Technically, yeah, but nobody really noticed because
I
just covered it up for a little while and it went away.
Yeah. Okay. And then there was the article. Your prep sports reviewing. How does it feel to have games that you're playing reviewed in the paper? Is that a weird feeling?
Yeah, it is a weird feeling. But
you like the writer who covers you.
Yeah, he's cool.
Have you talked to him?
He's interviewed me once last season. He was really nice.
Yeah.
But we get we have some rebuttal here.
Okay.
Because we have a platform in front of us to review his review, if we felt like it.
All right. So, let's your prep sports. We have you on our radar. We have you in our sight. So
Ryan Merkin, watch out.
Maybe we can invite him on the show at some point.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
we could do a sports themed.
Yeah,
I bet he is the most interesting person to have like a long like a conversation with.
Yeah,
about because he goes to so many. He reviews like the whole Johnston. He has like three Johnston County and like a couple surrounding counties.
Yeah.
He covers like all their
sports, all the high school sports.
All their high school sports.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a goal. We'll have to get to that when we get to the sports ball episode. Sporty fun episode.
The sporty episode.
The sporty episode.
It may not even have to be necessarily. We could ask him like who is the school that has notoriously the worst interviewers.
Oh, yeah.
Interviewees.
Yeah, we can ask
like
more journalism-based questions.
When you're there documenting the game, who are the worst fans?
You know, I have one
question. Loudest fans, yeah.
I have one question for him. I would ask him, be honest with me, Ryan, which is the school that actually leads? That's what I would say to him.
Be honest with me, Ryan.
Do you think he'd know the answer?
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
Well, we know the answer.
We know the answer, but he might not.
Well, we'll have to save that for our audience till next time. We will be back, and we will inform them that of which it actually is the school that leads.
Well, maybe it's because
anything else you
want to
say
overreact
before we go? What's on the docket for next go round?
I would say three words.
Three words?
Yeah. Expect some fireworks.
Wow. All right. And with that, that's been episode 7 of What About the Podcast.
What about the podcast?